recent study by the David Eccles School of Business, finance professor Michael Cooper, along with two other professors from the University of Michigan and Virginia Polytechnic, shows companies giving to political campaigns see positive returns for their contributions. The study's findings were summarized in a New York Times article on Sunday, and Michael Cooper is on the phone with me this morning to do the same thing. Professor, thanks for giving us some time today on Midday Metro.
Hi, Laura. Thank you very much for having me on the show today.
So the New York Times interested in what you folks uncovered, as well as some of the other cable TV. I understand you spent some time yesterday talking about the study. So let's start with the beginning. What caused you to look into this? Was there a trigger or a catalyst?
Yeah, so a natural question here is, you know, do publicly traded companies that donate more to candidates enjoy a better access and indeed, future benefits to their shareholders if they participate more in the political system? So there have been a number of studies by political science professors and other finance professors. I'm a finance professor, looking at individual events and showing that those potentially affect stock prices. For example, there was a recent study looking at what happened when the Republicans took control of the Congress and looking at firms that donated around that time period to just Republicans. So a bunch of studies like that really strongly motivated our interest in what we did.
So what data did you turn to, and what did you examine specifically?
Yeah, so what we wanted to do, I was just mentioning those other studies, what we wanted to do is we wanted to look to see if there were long-term systematic effects, you know, not just from some specific event. So we were made aware of a really rich data set that the Federal Elections Commission has. They're called FEC, and they have a website where you can go and download a database of all contributions by all what are called special interest groups over a very long period of time from 1979 to 2005. So what we did is we went and got that database and downloaded it. And within that database, there's about 3 million different contributions there, all individuals, all special interest groups. What we did is we screened out all the publicly traded companies that were on there. There were about a million of them, and got all their contribution data and basically merged it up with their stock price data and other kind of accounting fundamental performance data over time. And we were able to build a really interesting database that let us measure every year how many political candidates any given firm supported. So we were able to use that as our jumping board to do a bunch of tests.
That's a lot of number crunching. How long did it take you to build up this data set?
Actually, it took about a year. My co-authors, two other professors at Virginia Tech, did most of the work, thankfully. And basically what we had to do is we had to merge these contribution records with these other databases that had stock price return in them, data in them. And it wasn't very easy because they don't have the same fields and stuff. So we did a lot of manual matching and things like that.
Okay, so let's talk about results and some of the conclusions that you came to about stock price returns and contributions.
Yeah. So one of the things, let me just tell you a little bit about the contribution data. So, you know, on average, political candidates get most of their contributions from individuals. As a matter of fact, only about 10 to 15% come from the corporations. But what we found is that the corporate giving is much more concentrated. So, you know, again, that motivates our interest in seeing if there's a relationship between the corporate giving and how the firms perform. So what we did, our basic test, was to come up with a rolling five-year measure on how many candidates a given firm supported. So this was kind of a natural way to try to figure out what the level of influence a firm might have, you know, amongst all the elected candidates in the House and Senate. So what we found on average is that in any given five-year period, a firm supports about 72 candidates on average. So they have a big portfolio of candidates, if you will, that they support. And it's not like the firms actually target Republicans or Democrats or House or Senate. They pretty much spread their support evenly across, you know, all different houses and political parties. So they just maintain a big portfolio of candidates. But there's a lot of variation. Some firms support only, say, 10 or 20 candidates, and some firms, the very largest, support over a five-year period, even like 500 candidates. So what we did is we did a basic test that said, let's look and see how many candidates you support over the last 5 years, and is that related with how your stock price does the next year? And what we found, we were very shocked to find it, we didn't think we would find this, is we found there's a very statistically significant positive relationship. So the more candidates you support, the higher is your stock price next year.
So is there a correlation between party dollars, or just the more candidates you support across the board?
Yeah, it's just the more candidates you support. It wasn't that important how much you gave, per se. This Federal Elections Commission database is what's called hard money contribution data. That's actually limited to just $10,000 per election cycle. So it's not like the firms could give a whole lot of money. But again, it's concentrated giving compared to what individuals give. Individual giving only averages about $120 per contribution. So, yeah, what we found, the most important thing is just how many total candidates you support. So if you think of this in terms of, let me draw an analogy here with, say, a venture capitalist who invests in a bunch of startup firms. You know, a venture capitalist wants to hit it big with, you know, a few of their startup firms, but they know many will fail. We sort of view this firm support of political candidates being akin to that. They support many candidates and potentially some, you know, pay off big, so to speak, by probably providing favorable legislation and things like that to help them.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about cause and effect in terms of shareholder return.
Yeah.
You had some scenarios about increasing this effect, not to mention how little in actual contributions is necessary to increase shareholder value.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, so what we did is we wanted to be real careful about trying to figure out whether what we were finding was real or not. I mean, one of the big concerns is it could just be that the firms that contribute happen to be better firms. You know, it's not that the contributing makes them better. So in the research we do, we call that an endogeneity problem. So we wanted to know if it's really being driven by the contributions or there's just something about the firms that makes them better. And that's why their stock price goes up the next year. So we tried to be careful about seeing if there was a relationship between how many candidates a firm supported and their changes over the next couple years in their fundamental performance. So not just their stock price, but we actually looked to see if there was a relationship between how many candidates you supported and whether your earnings went up over the next year. So we did some tests about that, and we did find collaborating evidence that basically the more candidates you support, it maps into increased earnings for your firm. And then that, we hypothesize, maps into the increased stock price. So it does look like there's an actual real benefit to the firms by participating in the process.
And the benefit being what? Is Congress responding more favorably to corporations? I mean, is it something tangible you can put your finger on?
So that's a great question. In this study, we don't actually look at individual candidates and the legislation they sponsor and things like that. We've got over 800,000 different, you know, firm contribution records in our database, so that'd be very hard to trace through it that way. So we try to indirectly look at that. And again, by showing that there's an increase in the firm earnings, that's strongly suggestive that somehow they benefit via legislation that these candidates might do. But it would be, you know, very interesting in future studies to try to actually trace this through to specific legislation. One thing I can say is we try to explore a little bit more what's going on along these lines, and so we create these different indices on what types of candidates a firm supports. And one thing that came up to be very interesting is when we look at the number of what we call home candidates that a firm supports. So these are candidates that are in the same state that the firm is incorporated in.
That's interesting because of some contributions that have been happening in our state that aren't necessarily corporate contributions from within the state.
Right. That could certainly be the case, too. We find out with this home candidate index that there's a stronger effect. So, again, that's suggestive that, you know, these candidates are the ones, because they're in the same state as the firm, that are probably able, through appropriations bills and things like that, that are launched from the House, are probably able to better help the firm. So, again, that doesn't directly prove the cause and effect link, but it's very circumstantial evidence that these firms are being helped by the politicians.
So the New York Times wrote about this, and where else is this coming out?
Well, let's see. We had the New York Times article. There's a Wall Street Journal article that just came out today. Number of other newspapers have picked up the article because it was floated on some of the news wires like the Dow Jones. And yesterday we did a CNBC interview on it. Our 15 seconds of fame.
What I'm getting at is it's now making the rounds in the business press.
Right.
And I'm curious what kind of feedback you're getting from corporations. Is this a dirty little secret?
I think the corporations would say it's not a dirty little secret at all, since it's all, you know, contributions that are filed, that are recorded. So there's nothing secretive about it, obviously. Matter of fact, in the New York Times article, they actually had a few quotes from some firms that were contacted that made our, we generated a top 20 list of the top contributing firms. And basically the gist of their comments was that it's important to participate in the political system, and it's their responsibility to do that. So
let's talk about the top contributors. Who are they?
So yeah, I'll give you the top five real quick. Coming in number one was United Parcel Service. They supported an average of 629 candidates in a given five-year period. So obviously, since the 629 is more candidates than are in the House and Senate combined, there's a number of candidates that are counted in there twice over 5 years. Number two was AT&T, 622 candidates. Number three was Verizon, 581 candidates. Fourth was General Electric, 530. And coming in fifth was SBC Communications with 471.
So in terms of what you get for your dollar, were you able to come to some conclusions about, you know, the average contribution to a Republican versus a Democrat and the return on investment, so to speak, when doing that?
Yeah, so that was fascinating. Again, these, keep in mind, these are hard money contributions, so they're capped at $10,000 per candidate per election cycle. So that amount of money is dwarfed by the apparent increase in shareholder wealth from this effect. So there's a number of ways you can think about calculating that, but basically what we did is we looked at what happens if a firm supports an extra, what we call, standard deviation unit of candidates. So basically we look at the incremental shareholder wealth effect as you support more candidates. And what we found there is it's about between $150 to $250 million per year extra increase in shareholder wealth for these firms as they support more candidates. And the cost of doing that is really trivial. I mean, $10,000 per candidate.
$10,000 investment gets you $150 million return of shareholder value.
Yep.
That blows my mind. Am I reading this incorrectly to think that is so amazing?
Probably what we would say and what we discuss in the study is that the explicit contribution cost of the $10,000 is not really all that's going on. There are probably obviously other kind of hidden costs of successfully participating in the political contribution system that is not captured in the hard money contribution.
All those chicken dinners and such.
Chicken dinners, jet planes, flying the candidates around, all those sorts of things.
Okay, so let's talk about difference between a Republican and a Democrat. Investing in either one, is there a difference?
Yeah, so what we found is that firms on average contribute more to Republicans. Matter of fact, the typical Republican gets 12% of their support from firms, and for Democrats, it's only 10% of their support. And the average firm supports about 61% Republican candidates and 39% Democrat. So a natural thing to look at, as you just asked, is there a difference in effect in shareholder wealth across, you know, if you support Democrats or Republicans? So what we thought going into this is there would be a stronger Republican effect since they get more money and firms on average support more Republicans. And much to our surprise, what we found is that there's a slightly stronger effect for supporting Democrat candidates. So what we found on average is that you'll get a slightly stronger increase in shareholder wealth if you support more Democrats than Republicans.
Interesting. And do you draw any conclusions about should the balance of power switch during the elections today, how these findings might change in another review of the data?
That's a great question. We actually tried to address that by looking at periods where the House and the Senate were controlled by one or the other party or jointly controlled by the same party. And the results were inconclusive from that. We couldn't find any real things that jumped out at us on that. So today it'll be very interesting to see what happens, who takes control. But unfortunately we can't say if the Democrats take control there'll be stronger effects or not.
You're listening to Midday Metro on KCPW. I'm Laura Jones. And still to come, a conversation on element number 9, fluorine, with Blair Fulner and some scientists from the University of Utah, as well as the EPA's National Exposure Research Laboratory. And the element number 9 will be the topic of discussion Thursday here at the City Library during the Science and Society Public Dialogue Series. But right now, we're talking about campaign contributions by corporations. What's the return on investment? And my guest this morning is Michael Cooper, business finance professor at the David Eccles School of Business, University of Utah, one of the professors who worked on this study. So tell me about this data and what gets done with it. I mean, are you just putting it out there and that's that? Or do you plan on perhaps going into some other areas, like you said, now researching legislation and the contribution trail?
Yeah, so what we'd like to do to extend this is to potentially look at other effects. It's a very rich data set, this Federal Elections Commission database, and one of the things we have data on that we haven't used right now is, besides the contributions made by the firm political action committees, that's what we're studying in this current paper, we also have the contributions made by the firm's leaders, the CEOs, and the top officers. So it'd be very interesting to see if there are stronger effects if the CEOs contribute more to certain candidates and things like that.
Well, here in Utah, there was the whole controversy in the county DA race about a particular businessman offering bonuses to employees that would then turn around and make the same contribution to a candidate. I'm not going to go any further than that because I don't want to add any fuel to the fire. But is that something that this data can be used to address?
Yeah, that's an interesting case locally here in Utah. Potentially we could look at effects like that. It's very hard for us to get information on the individual firm employees and what their contributions are. So right now we can just match the CEO contributions to the firm PAC contributions and see if there are extra effects that go on there. The other thing that would be just really fascinating if we can do it is to potentially then look at specific bills that are launched by candidates that get a lot of support and really try to look, you know, trace the causal loop between the contributions and how it directly benefits the firms. We do a little bit of that sort of stuff in this current study where we try to look at, are there certain types of industries that are more affected by this?
Any?
What we find actually is, as the number of firms in an industry goes up, there's a smaller effect actually, which is consistent with what we might theorize as being important. If there are fewer firms, there's less chance for the other firms that don't contribute to do what we call free ride. So bottom line is we find a greater contribution effect when there's an industry with a smaller number of firms. We also find a greater effect when there's an industry with more concentrated sales, which again makes sense because it might be easier to present a kind of united lobbying front to these candidates. And then the one thing that was really surprising that we thought we would find is we did not find a stronger effect for industries that get more government contracts, so defense and industries like that. So that was inconclusive, but we hope in future studies to kind of pursue really more, you know, what's driving this with via specific legislation.
So studies that, you know, everyone likes to be able to replicate the findings, peer review, et cetera. How confident are you of your pattern? It's not just a random fluke of data.
Oh, that's always the big question in any sort of academic study, and you're right, this study actually is something we just came out with, and it hasn't been peer-reviewed yet at a journal, so maybe we should take all this with a grain of salt, but it does appear to be pretty robust. And again, one of the main advantages of our study, I think, is that it looks over a long time period over many firms, so it's not just a single event. So I'm fairly confident in the results. I kind of doubt that it's the case that these are just somehow better firms. I do think there's a link between how many candidates you support and the firm doing better in the future.
So the funding for this study, where did it come from?
The funding for this study came from the three universities that we work at. So I get funding from the David Eccles School of Business for my research, and my two colleagues are at Virginia Tech and University of Michigan, and they get funding from their universities. So
to push forward with more, same source of funding, or are you going to be looking for some grants?
Oh, grants are always great.
Work that system, Michael. Well, I'm just curious, you've been in the press for about a day and a half now with the findings on companies giving to political campaigns seeing positive returns for their contributions. Any pressure that you're starting to feel about what this might mean out there? I don't want to add to any conspiracy theory, but you know, this could be used for good and ill.
Yeah, I mean, certainly one way to look at this is the companies that can afford to play, so pay to play, so to speak. Our study does suggest potentially that they are getting extra benefit. So as far as fair and equal access to our elected officials by everyone, this would suggest that's not necessarily the case.
Transparency, how much of that do you get into, or is it more conclusions that you draw then from this data?
Yeah, it's more just broad conclusions that we draw that are circumstantial with there being an effect that there's not equal access.
Okay, so if folks want to take a look at this, Michael, where can they go to find your study? I know you sent me a link and said, hope this helps you sleep tonight. So, I mean, it's a 45-page study that you sent me. Is it posted online or anywhere folks can get to it easily?
Yeah, a very easy way to get to it is just to go to the home webpage for the David Eccles School of Business. So it's just home.business.utah.edu. And if you go there, that's our home page for the business school. And you can click on the link that says People, and you can pull up my faculty webpage, Michael Cooper, and go on there, and the study is posted on there. There's a link to the New York Times article that came out on Sunday. It might be more fun to read the New York Times article. It's only, I think, 700 words. Whereas the darn study is many, many thousands of words.
So confident of your results that they are not a fluke and pushing it to the next level, when will you start your next round of research on this topic area?
We're starting it as we speak, doing different tests, looking at, like I said, some of the effects of the CEO giving and other issues like that.
All right, and if folks have any inquiries or perhaps assistance they'd like to add, can they give you a call at the David Eccles School of Business?
Sure, or just send me an email at mike.cooper@utah.edu.
Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. It's a fascinating study, and I'm looking forward. I need to go find that Wall Street Journal article that you said ran today. See how the business press is treating this as a sign of foreboding or something to say, hey, here's a way of increasing ROI for shareholders.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
Michael Cooper, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you very much, Laura.
Michael Cooper, business finance professor at the David Eccles School of Business, and Michael is one of the three professors who have issued findings in a study that shows companies giving to political campaigns do see positive returns for their contributions for as little as $10,000. You can see a shareholder return of around $150 million a year.